Welcome to Cross the Bridge with David McGee, Weekend Edition. Pastor David McGee is internationally recognized for his unique conversational verse-by-verse and chapter-by-chapter teaching through the Word of God. We encourage you to visit crossthebridge.com to study the Scriptures along with Pastor David. But right now, open your Bible to the Old Testament book of Job and follow along for today's teaching. In this series of special Weekend Edition programs, Pastor David has been teaching practical lessons from the life of Job. The book of Job is one of the oldest books in the Bible. We are finding out that what needed to be learned back then still needs to be learned by us today as we continue studying chapter 9. And now, here's Pastor David.
Job 9:22 says, innocent or wicked, it is all the same to God. That's why I say he destroys both the blameless and the wicked. I think it's safe to say that Job has an attitude problem. I mean, some of the things he says in this chapter, it's hard to read, honestly, because these are incorrect assumptions about God. Now, let's understand, we're in chapter 9. We've been through 8 previous chapters of Job's friends just hammering him, saying things like, you know what, we think you caused your children's death by your sinful actions. Let's understand, Job came to this place in part because of his response to the friends. His friends could have played a very unique place in his healing. It really is a test, what we say, how we say it, when we say it. Watch your tongue. Some of you just heard, I'm supposed to watch somebody else's tongue. The tongue is in the Bible 114 times. I want to go through some verses about the tongue. Proverbs 15:2-5 says, the tongue of the wise makes knowledge appealing, but the mouth of a fool belches out foolishness. The Lord is watching everywhere, keeping his eye on both the evil and the good. Gentle words are a tree of life. A deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. Only a fool despises a parent's discipline, and whoever learns from correction is wise. Did you hear that last part? Whoever learns from correction is wise. None of us like receiving correction. Our flesh doesn't like it, but our spirit should. Our spirit should realize somebody that's correcting us or helping us loves us. The enemy wants us as individuals focused completely on ourselves and how good we are and how messed up other people are. That's what the enemy wants. The Holy Spirit wants you to love other people more and for you to realize how messed up you are. It's interesting because God gave us the church, the Word, the Holy Spirit, the man of God, the house of God, the Word of God to help us figure out what our shortcomings, our weaknesses, what's really wrong with us as individuals. And God has used it so powerfully, those things, to grow people. A few more, Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat of its fruit. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. That's what the Bible says. How so? How do we get saved? Confession. That's what the Bible says. Romans 9:10, whoever confesses with your mouth, believes in your heart. Romans 10:13, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So that's how we're saved. Now, we're talking about the tongue. Let's understand. What happens is a thought comes by, and it's a brief thought. And if it's a bad thought, you should move on. We all have these passing bad thoughts or temptations, the enemy, the world, and we have to focus on God. And sometimes a thought will come and we'll grab it and linger on it when we shouldn't. Maybe it's unforgiveness. Maybe we're focusing on a weakness in others that's really in us. Now, to have the passing thought is not the sin. But when you start to dwell on the thought, and the thought becomes an action, that it becomes sin. Proverbs 18:21, the New Living Translation says, the tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. Let me just give you the scripture references. Proverbs 21:23, and I'll read James 1:26. If anyone thinks he is religious, and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart. This one's religion is useless. This is really interesting. The verse after that talks about holding your tongue, that that's the real deal religion. And then it says, and we'll read both these verses, if you claim to be religious but don't control your tongue, you're fooling yourself and your religion is worthless. Verse 27, pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. So from that passage, we can get four things about the tongue and the real deal or real religion, what it looks like. Number one, someone controlling their tongue. That's what it says in verse 26. Don't say everything you think. Please, don't do it, especially if you're upset. Look, if you're upset, put down the keyboard, put down the pen, put down the phone. Amen?
Amen.
Just wait a few minutes. You know, it's interesting. Some of you just thought, oh, that's good. I'm going to do it. And you know what? You are going to save yourself such heartache. And some of you just heard that, and you know what? You're going to run smack into a wall. So someone controlling their tongue, caring for orphans and widows, and not letting the world corrupt you or make you selfish. There's James 3:8, but no one can tame the tongue. We spoke of that before. 1 Peter 3:8 through 12. For those of you taking notes, jot that down. 1 Peter 3:8 through 12. One more about the tongue. Galatians chapter 5 verse 14. It says, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. One word, love. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. Or in the New Living Translation, for the whole law can be summed up in this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. But if you're always biting and devouring one another, watch out. Beware of destroying one another. So Job chapter 9, Job is hurting because of the tongues of his friends. And so we, like Job's friends, need to learn to control our tongue. And like Job, even in the midst of all that's going on, he's asking the one question that is the most important one. How can a man be righteous before God? You know, it's interesting. In doing word studies, you know, you type in a word, the verses that have that phrase or that word pop up. It's great. I mean, we have some of that software that you can get in the cafe. And there's various things available online now. I ran that, you know, give an account. It's interesting. Two verses came up when I put in give an account in the New Living Translation. First one was Matthew 12:36. It says, and I tell you this, that you must give an account on Judgment Day for every idle word you speak. He was speaking to believers. We will give an account for our lives. Let's look at the second place that phrase was found, Matthew 25:19. After a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them to give him an account of how they had used his money. Boy, that's interesting, isn't it? How we use our words and how we use our finances. Not just did we tithe 10%, but what did we do? So we have a thought. The Holy Spirit identifies that thought as a sin, and then we have a decision. We have a thought, we have a choice. To start thinking about it or to stop thinking about it. Brings us to a crossroad. We have a thought, Holy Spirit says, that's a bad thought. We can keep thinking about it or we can stop thinking about it. 1 Corinthians 13:11 says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child. I thought as a child. When I became a man, I put away childless things. How does a child think? What does a child think about? Me, 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 me. You were afraid to say it because you thought it was just your kids. It's not just your kids. All kids are like that. Me, 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 me. Mine, 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 mine. You don't have to teach them any of that, do you? Johnny, I want to teach you how to be selfish and grab toys and go, man. That's it. No, faster. Man. Now raise your voice when you say it. Man. There you go. No. You don't teach your kids that. If you teach your kids that, come in tomorrow. We need to pray over you, man. No, you don't teach it. But they do that. Why? Sin. Selfishness. You don't want to think as a child anymore. You want to think about others. You want to play well with others. God puts us in this body because there's going to be some people that irritate the flesh right off of you. and you'll be a more spiritual person for it. People help us grow by not being so selfish. And let's remember, when it comes to thoughts, 2 Corinthians 10:4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. In the King James, that same verse, 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. The Holy Spirit, through the written word, says this is the battleground. And the battleground is the imaginations, the knowledge, and the thought. It's not in the hands. It's not in the eyes. It's not in other body parts. It's in the brain. Everybody has a passing thought. Don't let it linger. A bird can fly over, but don't let it build a nest in your head. Amen? I'll give you this saying. Sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. Your destiny is tied to your thoughts. If you control your thoughts with the power of the Holy Spirit, your spiritual destiny opens up. If you refuse to do the battleground in the mind, you're going to live a life not filled with victory. But when you get hung up, when you mess up, ask God to forgive you. Don't get hung up on pride. Let those same thoughts lead you to this thought. I need to repent. I need to tell God I'm sorry. And let's remember, what is sin? What sin is, it's doing wrong, and it's also not doing right. We think of sin as doing wrong, and it is, but it's more than that. There's doing wrong, sins of commission, and not doing right. Those are sins of omission. So there's sins you commit. And not doing right, those are the sins that you omit or don't do. If God lays on your heart to invite somebody to church and you don't, that's a sin. If God lays on your heart to share your faith and you don't, that's a sin. If God lays on your heart to give and you don't, that's a sin. If God lays on your heart to serve and you don't, that's a sin. You're getting it. It's the good things you don't do that are sins as well. James 4:17 says, therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Another passage speaking about the fruition of the temptation is James 1:14-17. I'm not going to read it. That's just for your study later. This big question, verse 1. And notice he comes back to it in here and saying, nor is there any mediator, in verse 33. There's no mediator. So what is the big question? What should we be focused on? There's so many questions. I love questions. I love to learn by questions. I love when people ask me questions about the Bible. It gives me a chance to explain things. Sometimes when I'm off to the side and somebody asks me a question, I just, you know, I get excited and I go on and on and on. And that's part of the reason the guys hang out with me, because I'll get totally distracted. I'll be talking about Pentecost and the Feast of Israel with somebody somewhere in the building when I'm supposed to be up here.
Pastor David will be back in less than 1 minute as he continues teaching in the book of Job. A great way to start out each day is with a practical email devotional every morning from Pastor David. Visit crossthebridge.com to start receiving yours for free. If you have a cell phone, you can also text the word ENCOURAGE to 94253. That's 94253 to receive a short encouraging text from us each day. And now, back to the teaching.
What's the most important? Not just to you, but to everybody. I think we hit on it right there in verse 2. How can a man be righteous before God? Why do I think that's the most important question? First of all, everybody will answer that one. Everybody will have to ask and answer that one. Everybody. If you're a believer, you're going to have to answer that. If you're a non-believer, you're going to have to answer that. How can a man be righteous before God? Is that important to you? Not just to you, but to other people asking. Now, not only will everybody ask this question, but another reason it's very important and the most important is what is decided by this question? Everything. Everything. That's not an exaggeration. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. life lesson here? Everything is decided by how a man tries to be just with God. Everything. It was interesting. If you follow the ministry of Jesus and John, it was very popular early on. It grew rapidly. And then it began to fall off, and people began to leave. And it's interesting, scriptural address in John chapter 6, verse 66, 666. It says that people didn't follow Jesus anymore. People turned away from him. It was a smaller group. And while he fed 5,000 on the hill, on Pentecost, it said that 3,000 got saved. But are numbers the most important thing? No, they're not. They are the measurement of evangelism or effectiveness or fruitfulness. But back to the question. It's important because everybody will face it. It's important because here's the next life lesson. You never know when you face it. You never know when you face it. If I ask you to guess at a date, you could, but you'd probably be wrong. We just don't know. The Lord could take me home tonight. Or it could be 20 years, 10 years, 30 years. I don't know. You don't either. We were just reminded of this at the marriage retreat. We came back and Ron Bodenhauer, Monday morning, 53 years old, went to be with Jesus. But praise God, he was ready. Because again, you never know when you're going to face it. And so not only do we want to know the answer for us with this question, but we need to be able to provide the answer to them. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." So here we are again. We're at this moment. We're at the end of the service. Some of us are beginning to think about what we just heard. And have we said something? Lord, search our hearts. Search our memory. Have we said something that we shouldn't have said? Have we not said something we should have? Maybe we should have encouraged somebody and we didn't. Maybe we're supposed to invite somebody to church and we didn't. Maybe we're supposed to share the gospel and we didn't. Lord, we invite your Holy Spirit here right now. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Are you willing to be honest tonight and say, you know what, I've said something I shouldn't have said. Or I really should have said something that I didn't. And friend, let's remember, gossip takes two people, somebody talking, somebody listening. If you're listening, you're gossiping. You're part of it. When somebody starts gossiping to you, what you should do is shut them down and say, no. This is a distraction to the big question. How can a man be righteous with God? Goes right with the question Jesus asked, who do you say I am? How you answer that question tells how you can be righteous with God. 1 John 1:8 says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess the sins of others, oh wait, no, that's not what it says. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word's not in us. Deuteronomy 30:19, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life that both you and your descendants may live. Remember, the tongue has the power of life and death. Even now, are you willing to say, God, I'm sorry. I'm wrong. I've been wrong. Maybe you need to apologize to other people. Have you been focusing on the main question? How can a person be righteous before God? Or have you been distracted? And friends, this is not an informational Bible study. We don't do informational Bible studies. We do transformational Bible studies because we are changing. You're changing. I'm changing. Yes, let's celebrate. You're not the person you were when you walked through those doors the first time. I'm not the same as when you walked through those. Praise God, I'm growing. And the other pastors are growing, and the elders are growing, and the deacons are growing, and we're all raising people up. If you serve here, raise up other servants. If you give here, raise up other givers. If you're a deacon here, raise up other deacons. If you're an elder, raise up other elders. If you're a pastor, raise up other pastors. And keep asking the question, how can a man be righteous with God? How can I help others know this? Or would you have just been another one of Job's friends? Friend, you will have the chance to comfort somebody, to minister to somebody, to pick up their slack, to protect their back. You'll have that chance probably in the next few days. What will you do? What will you do? Filled with the Holy Spirit, will you do what's right? Will you redirect to the big question? Because all the other stuff is just symptoms. We may not have to worry about Iran. We may not have to worry about nuclear armament or disarmament. We may not have to worry about Russia or China or the rapture of the next president. I've had a lot of presidents. But like the lyric in a song I wrote, I've had many presidents, but I will only have one king. You may not have to deal with all of that, but this one question, you will. And every person will. So let's focus with laser intensity that question in our lives and in the lives of others. Are you willing to be honest tonight? We're going to close the service in just a moment, but be honest. If you've sinned with your tongue, why don't you come on down right now? Maybe you were supposed to encourage somebody and didn't. Or maybe you meant to be prayerful and graceful, but you stepped over the line. It's understandable. We've all done it. But now you need to ask God to forgive you. Come on down. Come on down. Come on down quickly. Come on. I think it's safe to say we've all blown it. And if you're not able to walk down here for some reason, then we'll set chairs out for you if you need that. But if you can't get down here, you can pray from where you are. It's just much more powerful to come down here. And we approach the altar, we approach Jesus. And just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou biddest me to come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come. I come. Come to the Lamb of God. Come to Jesus. Come to rest. Come to forgiveness. Come to peace. And focus on how you can be righteous with God and how others can be righteous as well. Continue to come as we pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for a reminder, a refocus. Or even the last 24 hours, just the questions that we've all been bombarded with. And the enemy wants to distract us. He wants to fill our head and our ears with all sorts of voices except the voice. Lord, help us to hear you. Help us to live your word. Help us to walk it out. We need your Holy Spirit to do that. The word plainly says we cannot even manage our own tongue. We need your help. Each and every person. Oh, Lord, help us not to be arrogant and think, oh, I got this. Oh, I can handle my tongue. If you say that, you're calling the word a liar. The way we manage our tongue is the same way we find righteousness before God. And that's through Jesus. Through his Holy Spirit, we're changed. Even this evening, we came in one way, and we're getting ready to walk out a different way.
You've been listening to Pastor David McGee on Cross the Bridge Weekend Edition. Tune in again next Saturday afternoon at 4:30 Eastern and 1:30 Pacific Time as Pastor David continues teaching lessons from the life of Job on most radio stations. Friends, God loves you and wants you to experience His peace, forgiveness, and life. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." How do you receive this gift of everlasting life from God? First, acknowledge you're a sinner in need of forgiveness. Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and died for you on the cross, taking your sin upon himself to provide forgiveness for you. Then ask for him to enter your heart and life, turning away from your sins, that is, your own selfish desires, and then open your heart to follow God's plan for your life. You can start your new life by praying something like this from your heart. Dear Jesus, I believe that you died for me, that I could be forgiven. I believe you are resurrected, that I could have a new life. Lord, I have done wrong things, and I am sorry. Please forgive me for all of those things, and please give me the power to live for you the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. My friend, if you prayed that prayer today for the first time or are coming back to God after wandering away, please let us know. Email PastorDavid@crossthebridge.com and share your good news. That's a great first step to growing in your new faith. We'd love to email you back some more ways to continue in this wonderful adventure of faith. Remember that you are not alone and you are loved. Also, don't forget to visit crossthebridge.com to discover more resources provided at no charge to help you learn more about the Bible. If you'd like to help us share God's Word with others, please click on the donate button and support this program with your regular gifts. And tune in to Cross the Bridge Weekend Editions each Saturday and Sunday on this station or on the crossthebridge.com website. God bless you and have a great day.